wonder where Annie learned how to preach. Just curious. Just kidding. Yeah, it's from the parents, of course, they're sitting back there. Let's pray for our kids and send them off. Father, we thank you so much, God, for another privilege, Lord, to teach your children, God. And we thank you for Terry and Nicole, Lord, and a blessing they've been to us, Lord. We ask now that through this opportunity of teaching them, God, that you would really stir something deep within them, Father God, that will last in their whole lifetimes, Lord. Lord, bless Sarah, God, as she leads and as she teaches today. Lord, just use her powerfully, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's turn to Luke chapter 2. There with my mom's daughter. Is there anyone volunteer to go next year? Uh-huh. Giant? Susan, are you volunteer? I'm going to pick out everyone. All right, Luke chapter 2, verse 10. It's a little... Let's go from verse 1. Let's read this a little bit. Now it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time, God, and we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the gift, God, of baby Jesus to us, Lord. And sometimes, God, when we think about church and the cross, God, and his life, we forget, Lord, that he came into the world, God, just as every single one of us has come into the world. Lord, weak, helpless, the Lord, just this little child, God. And we ask, Lord, that you would just help us to understand the grasp, God, what this Christmas season is really all about, Lord. We thank you so much, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, my mom came back. She was back yesterday, and I was busy, so I came home. My wife went to go pick her up from the airport. And when she came back, she had basically given us stories of my nieces and my nephews. And it just goes to show, because, you know, a lot of times we kind of forget, right, about the Lord Jesus. And, you know, when he came to this earth, just like I prayed, he came to us as this little baby. You know, he wasn't this refined, you know, a specimen of a being. It was just a little child, and how cute these little kids can be. My mom shared this story about my little niece, Audrey. She's, what, 2 years old? 2 years old now? And, my mom was actually in the States because my brother had another baby, another girl, the third girl, you know, and she's just a few months old now. And I guess they were shopping in the mall over in Orange County. And as they were going around the mall, she was walking from behind, and she feels kind of... lost, you know, and she feels kind of neglected, right, because now she's got competition, and she was walking in the back, and she was just talking to herself, "Nobody likes me, nobody likes me," you know, and it's like so sad. I just wanted to fly home and, right, just give her a big hug, but, you know, kids are like that, right, the babies are so cute, and, you know, all these things, and, like, in the Lord Jesus, right, he came to earth in that same way. Right, in the frailty, you know, in our humanness and all these things. And when these guys came, you know, I was actually reading this again. You know, I've read the Bible so many times. And then you just read it again, I just realize how impactful some things are. You know, notice, like, and this is a side note, but, you know, we pray for angelic visitation sometime, right? We pray for the supernatural. You know, and I notice every single time an angel shows up, you know what his first words to the people are? Don't be afraid. Why did he have to say that? Because these guys were crapping in their pants, man, right? I mean, God shows up, right? The angel shows up. What's going to happen? You know, you're going to get deathly afraid. That's why this is, like I said, this is a side note, right? When you hear if someone has an angelic visitation or something like that, and they're like, oh, right? It's probably not the real thing, right? Because the first instincts would be, I'm going to die at this moment right now. And then, so just kind of a little test later on if you want to see these things. And so this angel appears to them at the birth of Christ, right? And he says, right, I bring you good news, right? Great joy is just happening right now. I actually was on the web. I just read a couple of these things, you know. And, you know, when Christ comes, you know, the whole holiday season, the whole Christmas season, right? It's supposed to be goodwill towards men and cheer and gifts and all these things. Let me read you some stories. This is actually happened last year, 2003. In San Rafael, California, two men exchanged gifts and were offended by what the other gave. In the resulting fight, each man hit the other over the head with a flower pot, and both were hospitalized. They don't have the Christmas spirit, right? There's another story. 21-year-old Brandy Nicole Nason was also less than pleased with the gift she received from her mother-in-law. When her former mother-in-law's house burned, Nason was accused of throwing the Molotov cocktail that started the $200,000 blaze. Right? She did not have the Christmas spirit. Right? Although most people don't know what to do with their tree once the celebration is over, a woman in Victoria, British Columbia had an idea. She was arrested for beating a man with her Christmas tree. The incident was sparked when the man grumbled that the load of gifts in his arms was heavier than the tree that she was carrying. Right? They did not have the Christmas spirit. And then, last one here. When her Jensen Beach, Florida apartment complex held a Christmas lights competition, Donna Simmons Groover was a winner, briefly. One of her neighbors, incensed at losing the contest, ripped down part of Donna's winning display. Right? These guys did not have the Christmas spirit. You know, and especially, you know, it's kind of interesting, right? This will be our third Christmas here in Hong Kong. You know, and when you go to places and, you know, and we see trees up everywhere, you know, I mean, you know, my wife and I, we want to go to Central and take pictures, you know, and, you know, beautiful design trees, and we see snowman and, you know, Santa Claus and all these things. And a lot of times, I mean, as a pastor, as a Christian, and I walk around and I think about, like, do these people know why we're celebrating Christmas? You know, do they have any idea why, you know, I mean, you know, there's a tree and all these things, and why we give gifts to people, and, you know, and why we spend time with families. And, you know, a lot of times I wonder, you know, do they, you know, it's kind of like that old member of the Band-Aid, right? Do they know it's Christmas at all? Do they even know why it's Christmas time? You know, and I just wanted to give just a real brief message to us to remind us, you know, of what God had in mind for this season. You know, it's not, and please don't get wrapped up in the gifts, right, and presents, and I got to buy this, and I got to get this person, and figure out the perfect gift to buy your pastor, you know, and all these things. You know, I have plenty, so don't worry about this stuff, right? You know, but we're constantly, you know, bombarded with materialism, with advertising, and all these things. That's not Christmas, especially here in Hong Kong. You know, and, you know, we're just, you know, Hong Kong is just one huge shopping mall after another, right? I mean, that's been my conclusion. It's a beautiful place, but it's just one huge shopping mall, you know? And especially in this time, you got to remember what Christmas is all about. You know, Christmas is about Jesus. Let's turn to your neighbor and say, hey, good looking. It's all about Jesus, right? It is all about Jesus. You know, this Christmas season, and we need to be reminded. I need to be reminded as well, because I'm trying to figure, okay, man, what do I need to get my wife? You know, my mom's here. What do I get her? You know, we're going to send stuff. And actually, a side note, but if you'd like to send a gift to Annie or the people there, please, you can get it and give it to my parents or give it to my mom before she leaves. So, you know, it's our first opportunity to do that, you know, because the mail is really bad. It'll get lost, trust me. And then, so, you know, but we worry about all these things, and then I have to sit down, even myself as a pastor, I have to sit down and say, no. I mean, that's a fringe benefit from it. But this whole Christmas season, it's about Jesus. It's about the Lord Jesus, about the baby Jesus. You know, and how he entered into our world and how he lived his life and, you know, and even how he died. You know, and it gives us a picture for us how we ought to live our lives. You know, the beauty of Christmas, the beauty of this whole thing is, for me, it gives me an incredible framework by which I need to live my life through. You know, I have an incredible model for me, right? Displayed in even in this child, even in his birth, I can learn some amazing lessons about who he is. And not even more than that, and just carry it forth and say, well, this is how I want to live my life. You know, notice, I'm just going to throw off a couple of good things here, right? And notice in verse 2, verse 7 there, right, that Jesus, he was born in a manger. Now, you know, we're living in the 21st century? Is it 20th? 21st, right? We're in the 21st century. And I got confused, right? Because it's 2004. It shouldn't be the 20th, but in any case, you go up one, right? I get it, right? And stuff. So, you know, we're in the 21st century, and so we have no idea what a manger is. I mean, what is a manger? You know, some of you guys that don't know the Bible, you may probably, you know, call it manger. It's not manger, it's manger, right? You know, like, it's Job, not Job, right? The, you know, same type of thing. And so, you know, as you go through this thing, this manger, the manger literally is a barn, right? And it's not just a barn and stuff. And when he was placed in the manger, it was a feeding trough. You know, have you guys ever been on a farm? Well, have you guys watched The Simple Life? Right? So you guys, no one's been on a farm, but everyone watched The Simple Life, right? You know, remember, you know, those animals are running around and stuff, and remember those pigs are, you know, are catching, and they're eating, you know, in this trough. And this trough was basically this, like, semi-circle, you know, kind of a feeding instrument. And they put the feed and whatever else in there, and the pigs will come, and the animals will come, and they'll eat off this thing. Our baby Jesus, the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, right? He didn't, even when he was born, right? They had no room for them whatsoever in the hotel room, the inn, the hotel. And so they had to go out to the barn. And Jesus was placed in this little wooden feeding trough, right? Where these dirty animals come and, you know, snort their food. You know, have you ever watched pigs eat? You know, like, it's an amazing thing. You just got to watch. When pigs eat, food comes in. And all kinds of stuff come out of their nose. It's disgusting, man. Right? Because, you know, they got to breathe or something, right? You know, they can't breathe. So, like, they're eating and just this snot is just coming out of their nose. It's this. I mean, it really is disgusting and stuff. And Jesus was placed in a feeding trough, right? You know, like I said, the good news. You know, when the angel says, I come to give you good news, right? A glad tidings. The good news is that Jesus, for now, gives us a way that we ought to model out and live our life. You know, and if I could just draw a simple word that will encapsulate Jesus' life, it's simply humility. Humility. Right? That more than anyone else in all the scriptures, he epitomized humility. You know, and even when he was born, he came into the world in a very, very humble state. You know, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You think he'd come in a castle, you know, or have a, you know, you guys ever watch like Princess Diana when they got married, you know, in the big carriage and, you know, all their splendor and all these things, you know, and I mean, just marching, you know, I mean, just soldiers, everybody, you see this, wow, amazing spectacle. And you think the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I mean, the King of all kings would come into the world in that way, right? Splendor, you know, just a fantastically, you know, linen, silk, you know, all these wonderful things. And he came in a little, you know, little blanket, right? In a tiny little feeding trough. Right, so humble, didn't even, you know, have a proper bed, have a, you know, proper domicile to, you know, to enter in this world in. He enters into this smelly, smelly barn, you know, which is actually a great picture of God coming into our world. Because God didn't come into a world that was perfect. Everything is so beautiful, things are happening. He came to a sick world, and it's getting sicker every single day. Right, I mean, it, you know, and it's this. Do you see how contradictory it would be for Jesus to come into the world in splendor, right? Understanding the fact that God came into the world, right, and the world wasn't perfect either, right? The world was messed up. That's why He came, right? That's why the Lord Jesus came, right? And it's this perfect picture of the conditions, right, that the world was in, the conditions that we're in. You know, many of us here, we accepted Christ and we believe Christ not because we had our act together, right? Not because we were perfect. And not because we had the great job and, you know, we had this and we had that. You know, Jesus came into our lives because there was a need inside of us. It's not what Nietzsche or the other guy said. I'm not talking about just the opiate of the week. And I'm not talking about it in those terms. But we honestly came to the place and said, man, there's a hole in my soul. There's a hole in my heart. You know, I may have all these things, but something inside me is not right. You know, as Pascal said, right, the heart-shaped vacuum that only God can fill. You know, and our heart, there was a vacuum there. You know, and we may have gone after alcohol or sex or drugs or, you know, materialism or, you know, I mean, we could, you know, success, you know, degrees. It could have been, you know, whatever things we went after. And we got it, and it just didn't satisfy. It just didn't hit home inside. Because God set eternity in our hearts. You know, and God came into our lives, not because we had our act, not because we're perfect, because we're in need. Right? Because there was something missing inside of us. You know, and He came in that way. Right? And His birth was the expression of humility. You know, I mean, I don't know about you, but, I mean, but most of you guys, you're probably born in a hospital, right? Actually, I don't know. Hey, was I born in a hospital? I was? Okay. You know, I don't know why, because, you know, I'm from Jeju-do. I always had a picture. I was born in, like, in a farm or something, right? That goes my theory, right? Any case, I don't know why. All right, let's just move on, right? And so... And you think about this, right? And even in His birth, think about this. Who gets to see the Lord Jesus? Right? Who gets to see Jesus? Was it the rich people? Was it the acclaimed people? Were the popular ones? Who got to see the Lord Jesus? There are actually three groups of people. What was the first one? It was the shepherds, right? It was working class stiffs, man. Right? And, you know, incidentally, shepherds, like these guys... When you're hired as a shepherd, they're actually not even your own flock, right? They're hired hands. It's not like they're, you know, they're rich farmers and they got all these. They're hired hands. Shepherds got to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Who else got to see the Lord Jesus? Wise men, right? You know, these guys, they were Persians, you know, and they had been seeking for God. They had been seeking something, right? They had seen the star and they began to inquire of God. And they came to see the Lord Jesus. Who else? What were the other group of people that got to see Jesus? Remember Anna? Right? What was the other guy's name? It was Anna, and it was Simeon. And Simeon was just some guy that would just go, and he was a devout man. He would pray to the Lord all the time, and God revealed Himself to him and says, this is one. And remember, he prophesied over the baby Jesus. And Anna was a prophetess, and she would just sit in the temple night and day and fast and pray. And, you know, and for what they said was the consolation of Israel, basically asking for the Messiah to come. It's kind of, if you see this picture, it's kind of amazing. It's like the parables, right? Jesus, right, when He gives a parable, He says it's like a treasure, you know, and someone, you know, just found it, you know, they found this pearl and they sold everything they had. Another person, they were seeking for a treasure and they just found it. You know, I could have got those two stories mixed up, but it's this two little story, right? Parables of one person, well, actually was seeking after it and found it, gave up everything they had to buy it. Another person just happened to just walk along, right? And they just found it that way, right? It's like I preached on a couple of weeks ago, right? It's the mystery of the gospel, right? Some just earnestly seek after God and they find God, and some are just kind of living their life, moseying down, and all of a sudden God shows up. You know, it's this incredible mystery, right? And the same thing, the shepherds are just doing their own business and an angel appears to them. You know, just common people, right? It was, in fact, if you look at it, just lowly people, you know, got to meet the baby Jesus, got to actually see Him and got to actually honor Him in that way. You know, and then there were the wise men that were seeking after something, right? You know, in most translations actually believe that these guys were actually astrologers. Right, they were into the stars and all these things, but they were into that because they were seeking something inside. They wanted to find God, you know. And so they went after astrology. They went after these, you know, Eastern mysticism. But the core of it, they were going after God, and they met Him. Right, they met the baby Jesus, you know. And then you have, you know, Anna and Simeon that were devout and really going after God, and God shows up in the Lord Jesus, right, as kind of a reward for them. You know, and He was born among commoners. Right? He was born in a manger, right? In incredible humility, and He was born among commoners. You know, you think, yeah, trust me, man, if a royal person, you know, if they have a child, you know, the guests come, it's all the honored guests show up. Right? It's all the kings, right? The prime ministers, presidents, all these things. Right? When Jesus comes, He's met, right, by just simple, common people. Right? The lowly, in essence. You know, and that's a great sign for us too, right? Because, you know, we may have high stature, we may have low stature, that doesn't matter, right? What matters is you get to meet Jesus if your heart is lowly, right? If you're humble in your heart, you know. And so in His birth, right, He expresses humility. He showed us also how to live a very, very humble life. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Let's read from verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent, and didst reveal them to babes. Now that itself is an amazing passage. But he says, God, I thank you that you've hidden these things meaning wisdom, right, these meaning power, you've hidden these things from the wise and intelligent, and God, and you reveal them to babes. Now obviously, he's talking about the disciples, right? And so they were not 1-2 years old, right? And so when he talks about babes, he's talking about a heart that's pure. Think about this. God says, Jesus says, I thank you, God, I'm so grateful that you hide these things from the proud, the wise and intelligent, the ones that got their act together. But Lord, you reveal these things to the people that are humble in their hearts, to babes. And then he continues on. Let's go to verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. Look what he says, right? He teaches us how to live this life in humility. He says, learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. Now, see, if I'm here, right? Well, I am here. And if I say, man, I am so humble. I can't believe how humble I am. It just amazes me, right? You think the first instance is, man, that guy got some issues, right? That guy is proud. You know what I mean? I mean, there's something going on here. But Jesus says, I am gentle and I'm humble in heart. You know, the gentle part you can get away with, right? You know, but when you proclaim that you're humble, you cease from becoming humble. Do you know what I mean? It just doesn't work that way. It's like, you know, in the book of Numbers, you know, it's in parentheses in your Bible, and it's talking about Moses, right? And it says, Moses was the humblest man on the face of the earth. You know who wrote the book of Numbers? Moses did. So Moses is like, I'm the humblest man, right? It just doesn't make sense, but obviously he's moving out of inspiration, right? But Jesus is sitting there and he says, I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart. And he can say that without batting an eye. If any of us ever said that, you know, we'd be like, come on, man. You know, give me a break. You just ruined it. You know, that's because it's kind of interesting church sometimes, right? You know, when I first became a pastor, right, and I was working at this church in Southern California, and you know, I'd be doing my stuff and doing all things, and all of a sudden, you know, like the, you know, the women in the church would be like, "Oh, Pastor Sam, you know, you're doing a great job, blah blah and stuff." And I just try to be humble, right? You know, I'm not like, you know, yeah, that's right. You know, it's just kind of like you just try to, you know, you don't really do anything and stuff, and you're just like, oh, praise God, kind of, you know, you're like, you're really honest, but you know what happens? All of a sudden, like, oh, they turn around, oh, Pastor, he's so humble, you know, so you can never win, do you know what I mean? Like, in church, when the idea of humility, you can almost never win, you know, because in the church, it's kind of different. You actually get praised for your humility. Isn't that interesting, right? You guys getting what I'm saying, right? You guys are like, oh, right? I mean, it doesn't happen in the world, but in church, you actually get praised for being humble. And so it's so much more difficult to be humble, right? But Jesus stands in that place and says, man, I am gentle and I'm humble of heart. And he says, look, you can learn from me, he says, right? You can learn from the way that I live my life, right? That it oozes with humility, right? It's so different than this world, right? It's so different than what this world, you know, has in mind for every single one of us. I spent time, well, Mike's not here, so I can talk about him, so okay, right? And so we spent a lot of time together talking and things, and you know it's amazing. You know, you're sharing with me how he's been, you know, coming to church for a while and stuff, and his whole mindset is changing. You know, whereas before it was just work, 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 and you know, I gotta do this, make this deal, I gotta look good in front of my bosses, I gotta get the promotion, I gotta do all these things, right? The things of the world, you know. And there's not necessarily nothing wrong with that, but if that's your life goal, man, that's sad. You know, now he's been in a community, you know, and he's seen how other people are living their lives, and now he's like, you know, it's changing now. You know, it's you know, and I still want to do, you know, he says, I still want to do a good job. You know, I still want to, you know, be the best banker that I could be, you know, but now my priorities have been shifted a bit, and I still work hard, you know, but now there's other things that are a little bit more important in my life. You know, and for me, you know, as I hear even guys like that say, I said, man, this is Mike, dude, you're getting it, man. You're getting this whole idea of what Jesus came to this earth for, right? To save us. You know, that we won't be so concerned about things that, I mean, that really, I mean, they matter, but they don't matter that much. They don't matter to the point where you have to work 20 hours a day. I mean, trust me, it doesn't matter that much. You know what I mean? And so it does matter, but there's so many other things in our life that are even more important. And the Lord Jesus Christ, this whole Christmas season, right? This whole birth was an introduction for every single one of us in how we ought to live our lives, right? In a life that pleases God. He showed us how to live a humble life. You know, he says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, he says to Paul, he says, look, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Right? And we think, what? No. See, but the world and school and all these things, they've taught me that power is perfected in power, in having more power. Right? The more power you got, right, the more perfect it becomes. You know, and Jesus says, no, listen. It's a whole new paradigm of how we ought to live our lives. Power is perfected in weakness. Right? And he's showing us a whole other way by which we ought to live our lives. He showed us how to live a simple, humble life. His death was also a testimony of his humility. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. His birth is wrought with humility. He shared his life to us that was full of humility. And then his death was also a testimony to a life of humility. In Ephesians chapter 2, I'm sorry, it's not Ephesians, Philippians. Sorry about that. Philippians chapter 2. Let's read from verse 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. I see, Paul is able to say, look, you can, right, when you see other people, look to them as more important than even yourself. You know, have concern, and he's saying you can do this if Christ, right, if you have this attitude inside of you that Christ had. And he continues on. Verse 6, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Even in his death. Right? He says he humbled himself even to the point of death, and death on the cross. His birth was full of humility. His life was full of humility. And even in his death, he's full of humility. Right? And we ought to, every single one of us, we ought to live our lives that emulate the Savior, right? Instead of the prevailing attitudes of our culture of this time. You know, you have a task before you for this next week or so. You know, I know you're going to be busy shopping. You're going to be busy, you know, writing Christmas cards. You're going to be busy meeting with friends and, you know, family. Some of you guys will be flying off to see your family. You know, some of our members have already taken off to see their loved ones. You know, and you can make a distinct choice in your life this week. You can choose to have the attitude of Christ and remember what this Christmas season is really all about. You know, gifts are nice. You know, I mean, that's cool. You know, dinners with our friends. I mean, those things are wonderful, right? But this Christmas season is about Jesus, right? It's about this wonderful God that loved us so much. I mean, so much that he came and he gave a piece of himself, his only son, right? Not just so that he can die, but just so that he can be with us, right? Right? The angel says his name is Emmanuel, God with us. You know, God saw our needs. He saw the situations that we were living in. You know, then in that time, in our time as well. You know, the simple way of saying is he didn't like the situations that we're in. And so he gave us the beautiful gift of his son. You know, this Christmas season, the greatest gift that you can give to your loved ones, the greatest gift that you can give to the people that are close to you, the greatest gift that you can give to people that you see around you. You know, some of you guys that work, your secretaries, you know, your people that work under you, the people that work over you. The greatest gift that you can give is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and if you can express that through a gift, if you can express that through a card, and if you can express that through a dinner, you know, there's so many different expressions that we can offer up. You know, but the greatest gift that we can give, really, this season, is Jesus. Right? He really is the reason for this season. Amen? Let's close our eyes. I just want to challenge you today to reorient your thinking a bit. All right, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we want you to enjoy this holiday season so much. But let us not lose sight on why we're celebrating. All right, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Him. And in this time of prayer, if you feel like you've let this season get away from you a bit, just go to the Lord and say, Jesus, I want to make you the center of this time. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for coming to this sick world and for saving me, for saving us. Maybe there's people in your life that you're praying for, or that you want to pray for, or that you're concerned about. Just begin to pray for them right now and say, God, this season, give me an opportunity, Lord. It's amazing what God will do with those simple prayers. And I played in a basketball game this past week, and the Lord gave me an incredible opportunity to witness to one of the guys that we were playing with. It's amazing what God will do when you just open yourself up to Him. Let's pray. We will remember you, God, in this season. Remember you, my early Christmas present for you is a short message. Because we got a Christmas service this week. As we leave our service today, we actually wanted to pray for a few people. And it's been a,